Pishul Ha'edim, or it will be forgotten that these witnesses have denied they're having signed this. So Shema Yavi Od Eidim Shkarim Ve'idu Shezeh Katav Yadam Shal Yehuda Ovid Yamin U'Mavakeshet Mi'Beit Din She'Yachtivu Ma She'Amu Yehuda Ovid Yamin. She wants a protocol from the court to an assertion as to what these witnesses denied having signed the document.
A notary or something?
A court document, right.
Very, very.
Right.
Couldn't have the signature for another one on it.
No, what she is demanding from the court is that the court issue a judgment saying that the Yehuda and Binyamin came and denied that this was their signature. She wants to be protected against this guy going and extracting again another this or some other document, and she's going to be pestered for the rest of her life. Like, he can always round up more and more false witnesses.
But he denied it.
She denied. So here's the case. This guy brought claimed that two witnesses saw the marriage, and two witnesses come and deny it. Then they brought two witnesses who he claimed signed the document saying that they saw the marriage, and they denied signing the document, and they denied seeing anything. And this keeps going, right? He repeats, Shuvak, I've already responded on the central issues of this case. You need the actual testimony of the witnesses in court and not a signed affidavit. Etc. And then he repeats himself, and then at the end he says that. The Dina, last three lines, the Dina Shashu Elat Mi Beit Din Nechtov Masha Yalat Nehem Velitain La Kedin Amor. Leah is correct in demanding this kind of a declarative judgment on the part of the court. V'shaminan La V'ruy La Beit Din Lechtov Afilu Mi Atzman Velitain La Lahasir HaMikshalot V'shalot Yehim Makom L'Poshim L'Chavel V'Nabel B'Not Yisrael V'Achnit Ata Aretz. Okay. All right, here's another case, again, the Rashba. So you can see that this was a prevalent form of criminal behavior on the part of certain men who were trying to just simply blackmail rich girls' families. We're talking about the 13th century. Here's another such case. Here's a request that I got from the king. So, al inyan echad, on a certain matter, she'irah kan ba'almana achad, on the case of a certain widow, she'echad mikroveh haya nechnas b'chol yom b'beita, yom echad yatsa, oto karov l'beit ha'kneset, yisidu tvilot b'yado. One day, this gentleman left the shul and took a sidur with him. And he took two witnesses with him together with this sidur. Then they left town. So here was a case referred by the king back to the Jewish courts, who then turned to the Rashba for his opinion. Shuva. V'yemet hada'at notenet shenahag baze minhag rama'ut ve'ena mekudeshet. Prima facie, we would say that this woman has not been married. Ela shemachmat chomer ha'odiyot enon yecholim lodun behem mi'omet hada'at We can't simply apply our prima facie intuition here. Therefore, the only solution to this problem is to have this man voluntarily, in quotes, give a get. But certainly this man should be fined according to the amount that the king's official should decide. So that this type of situation not be repeated. The whole Beit Din Yeferusha in Lasot Min Hadin Kain Kedi Aminin Hachi Dainin Lach Ulchol Almi Chaverach. This is how we deal with you and other kinds of bullies like you. The Afilu Liknos Begufo, and even to apply a certain amount of physical punishment, corporal punishment. Im Haya Beit Din Yefer Mishum Migdal Milta. So he's saying that this man should be severely penalized as a lesson to others. The ilu ratzala takena kihilot, if the various communities wanted to enact an enactment, hokol kihilah u kihilah, lifdom afnei takalot elu, to prevent this type of thing happening in the future, yasu takana ba'amad kulam, they should enact an enactment in the presence of the entire community, v'yafkiu me'ata v'ad olam, o ad zman shiyotsu, kol mamon shiyitain l'shom yisham mekihilah hafka'a gemurah hefker gamul. They should revoke the ownership of any money that anybody has, and was given in the form of kiddushin, ela imkein tekavlam ha'isha mida'ata, unless the woman accepts it of her own free will, umida'ata aviha, and with the approval of her father, or in front of so-and-so, the town officials, as they should wish. Kol mamon shiyitnein al betarat kiddushin afilu tegablo midata em lo b'fnei ploni uploni v'chein hodate ani pa'amam pa'amim levnot yirein. In other words, here is a situation which we studied in detail many years ago where there was a communal enactment to avoid problems with marriages which could arise by someone who is trying to blackmailed marriages, or where the woman might be running off with someone that the father doesn't approve of, or any other sort of misbehavior. So here we have a situation where the Rashba was willing to enforce communal enactments to effectively nullify or annul certain kinds of marriages. And unfortunately today, as we know, women are caught in a very serious bind because of recalcitrant husbands, but the rabbis of our time don't seem to have the will to enact types of legislation which would deal with this problem. Okay, here's another, we'll just read briefly this next shuvah of the Rashba because the case is pretty funny, but it's another one of those situations in which the man is trying to claim that he's married this woman where she is tricked into some kind of an act which was not her willing. Sha'alta, anu beit din chatumim mata, kein haya. We, the undersigned court, are reporting this case. Remember, the Rashba was getting tens of thousands of cases in his 40 years of service. We only have a small percentage of the ones that he'd answered, but he was a busy guy. I mean, he was completely taken up with all of these problems from all over Spain and Catalonia, and of course, on top of running his yeshiva and writing his Kiddushei Torah and so on. Okay. Shabau lefanenu ploni uploni. So and so, Mr. A and Mr. B came before our court. Ve'heidu shnehem shayu bevei ploni. Yom yudalid yigimel achodesh alul. They were in such and such a house. Ki sha'amura plonit almana ploni leploni. אני מפייסה ממך שתלך לכל הפלוני שיביא לכאן ויתקן לי זו הטבעת שלי. Please call the jeweler that he should come here and fix my ring. והלך פלוני ומיד חזר ואמר לה, הוא אומר לך, the guy went out the door and then came back in and said, the jeweler says, שאינו יכול לבוא, he himself can't come. ואם תרצה לתקן שום דבר, but if you want to repair anything, שגורו לו, send the ring to the jeweler. אמרה לו, כך זה הטבעת שלי, ושאולו, take this ring and carry it over to the jeweler, שיתקנו לי, that he should repair the ring. שהוא נשבע, because it's broken. ולקח פלוני הנזכר, את יד פלוני את הנזכרת, and the man took the hand of this woman, ואמר לה, הרי באיזה אצבע יחיל בידך? Let me see which finger in your hand is this ring suitable for. והתחיל להביא הטבעת באצבעה, and he started to put the ring on her finger, ואמר לה, אחד מהעדים הנזכר, הישמרי פלוני. Watch out! One of the witnesses there told this woman to watch out. והיא נראתה אחרונית, so she pulled her hand back, והסירה הדבעת מאצבעה בחריאה, מאצבעה בידה אחרת, וחנתה במקומה, וכללה וחרפה את פלוני הנזכר, and she cursed this guy out. ואמר את העדים הנזכרים, he said to the witnesses that were there, היו עדים על זאת, you be witnesses to what took place here. ויענו ואמרו, במן היה עדים, ואנו לא ראינו שום דבר, what can we testify to, we didn't see anything. ושאלנו את העדים הנזכרים אם אמר פלוני לפלוני הנזכרת שום דבר כשהיא נותן לו את הטבעת שלה, when he was giving her own ring after all it was her property, אבל אמרו שהם לא הבינו הדברים אשר אמר. They didn't understand anything that he was saying. רק ראו שפתיו נאות. They saw that his lips were moving. ועוד שאלנו אותם אם היה ביותם מעמד בבית שום אדם זולתם, was there anyone else present? ואמרו לו לא. ובלעד פלוני שהוא משגיח מעלת הבית, someone was looking down from the attic. עוד באו לפנינו שני עדים אחרים, פלוני ופלוני, והעידו בפנינו ששם היו יום ד' של י"ג לחודש אלול בפונדק ואוכלים, they were sitting in the restaurant and eating. באו אותו פלוני הנזכר וראו אותו פניו מלריקות, they saw him with a bad disposition, ואכל עמהם ושאלו אותם למה הניח ביתו ובא אצלם, why did he leave his house and come here to eat in the restaurant. ואמר להם, דעו כי אני הייתי יוצא ובא בבית פלוני, והיום נכנסתי לשם, ואמר לי פלוני על מנתו, עשה זאת את הבא, etc. etc. and tells the story. ואמרתי לה, הריבי איזה אצבע יחיד, ואת said in the same story, etc. ואמרתי, הקרבע שלי, והעיד בך שני נערים שהוא חוכרים, וכל זאת עשיתי דרך סחוק, ותקף שעשיתי זאת ביותו מעמד, קפצו פלונת נזכרת ודודתה. The moment that I did this, this widow and her aunt got up and cursed me and kicked me out of the house and etc. So here the Rashba says, "Ein ani ro'ech shash shel klum."
But the problem, he's married to her?
Yeah, was this a legitimate marriage or not?
He wants it or he thought that's out of hormone?
Not clear. But the whole story, this is one of many, many stories in which the man is acting improperly. I mean, the kinds of cases that we have in recent times, say 50 or 100 or even in present times, is where a boy and a girl are playing, you know,
a game,
and one says, Hariyat Makudeshet, and then what's the status? But here is this complicated situation. We don't know whether the man was intending to blackmail this widow or not intending to blackmail her. It's a weird case because, after all, it wasn't his ring, it was her ring, so... There are cases in the Gemara where a person steals a woman's property and then tries to be Mekadesh, but here's a real event like that which took place here in Spain. He responds, of course, that there's nothing to worry about here at all. There's not even the slightest threat of a... Okay, now we come to another case of... We're finished with the falsified marriages. Let's come to another tshuva of the Rashba, this one dealing with the issue of unsubstantiated allegations of misbehavior on the part of the wife. Ol gamalta shiyesham isha nesua sheyatzah ela kolad lo pasuk is an unceasing rumor. Ad shal munshi mityached imam mishe nechshad bimenu kama pa'amim aval ein edim b'davar madina. What is the case of a woman in which there are unceasing rumors about her misbehaving with somebody, but there are no clear witnesses? Davar zeh, im hu davar mukhual, keoto shamu b'yavamo perakei tzad ruchel yotzoi, if the traveling salesman is leaving and the woman then is tightening her belt, barok lamala min akila, and is spit on top of the bedpost, v'yesh shnei edim b'davar zeh, and there are two witnesses to this kind of suspicious behavior. On this matter, there's a big dispute between the scholars. Sha'arav bal halachot, the Rif, bal halachot gedolot, for Rabbeinu Chananel, bal Rif, for Rabbeinu Tamzan, heskimu she'ein motzihin isha miba'ala, elo be'edim. You don't force the woman to be separated from her husband unless you have actual witnesses. Loshna yesh lo banim, v'yeshna loshna ein lo banim. It doesn't matter whether or not they have children. V'kolad lo pasik, in a situation where you have this kind of a rumor, dafka minit'an v'lo mi'ba'al. You separate her from the person who this rumor is about. For example, if the husband dies or there's a divorce, she's not allowed to marry such a person, but you don't break up a marriage unless there's actual witnesses. In the case where there are no children, you can force her to get a divorce without financial remuneration. That's when she has no enemies. Aval yesh la banim ein otzi yenot mimena elo be'edim d'tumah, o she'ein la banim ve'ika oivim, do'ivim hu d'mafki l'kola. V'hine l'kdim b'ilchot ravalfis, etc., etc. And now, to v'advarim atikim, this is an old matter, ve'eini bot, ata la'arich b'rayot u'b'ta'amim, she'alachot megubotein, ba'ashliach do'chek. The messenger is pushing for a rapid answer, but I'm not going to give you a long, drawn out discussion. Ella shani kotev lacha derech klal shelo totziuha miba'ala ela be'edei tumah v'kol shekeinim yesh lo banim miba'al. You don't break up the marriage unless there are actual witnesses to adultery having taken place, and certainly not if there are any children.
What's the
meaning
of
she has enemies who are willing to spread a rumor, so the fact that this rumor doesn't cease is no evidence of anything except that she has some enemies.
Sometimes they're friends.
All right, we're getting a little late. Let's see if we'll... let me skip a few here. Let's go to the Zichron Yehuda, which is the generation after the Rosh, but that's when the son of the Rosh. Do you have this? Zichron Yehuda, Simon Yud Zayin. Before Tzadikav. Okay? On the last three lines, the last four lines of the first paragraph. This is a letter from the Rosh's grandson, that is the nephew of the author of these Shuvot, to the author. Okay, but a second question. V'da gviri ki yesh kan b'nei adam sha'omrim leva'er min ha'ir nashim ufkorot. There are some people here in town who say that one should eliminate the prostitutes from town. Because having Jewish prostitutes violates the prohibition of lav delotei kedesha. Furthermore, these prostitutes don't go to the mikvah. And therefore, the Jewish men who have sex with these prostitutes are violating the laws of Nida. And some say, Mutav sheyishavu ba'ir, it's better that the Jewish prostitutes remain in town, while al yitaravu zera kodesh b'vnot necha. It's better that the Jews deal with Jewish prostitutes rather than with non-Jewish prostitutes. Furthermore, since it's possibly a capital offense for a Jewish man to have relations with a Christian woman, it's better that these men, young men, get their sexual needs satisfied by Jewish prostitutes rather than, okay? Who's right in this dispute? So we learn from this that houses of Jewish prostitutes were a common phenomenon, and the issue is it good or bad?
And the Jews.
Right. Well, remember that the Christian church was all in favor of houses of prostitution. Frequently they were supported by public funds because the alternative to houses of prostitution were public rapes and or seduction of married women. So the church's position throughout this period was basically in favor of... I mean, sex is bad in all forms. Even married sex is bad, according to the church. Abstinence is the preferred solution, but the lesser of various evils were houses of prostitution. And here the issue was whether Jewish prostitutes were a better, lesser evil than a man endangering himself by going into a non-Jewish house of prostitution. Of course, since the Rush's family came from Germany, which had an entirely different attitude than on issues of sex than what we see here in Spain, Miralish, etc. Okay, so the second one. Ein halacha ki yeshamim. The law is certainly not like those who say that it's good to maintain these houses of Jewish prostitution. Ki bezonot Yisrael yesh lav v'kaveit. There's a lav and there's an isur kaveit because these women don't go to the mikvah. Umutav sheyistaknu hagufim min hanefashot. It's better that the people endanger their lives than that their souls be placed in danger. V'shalom dodcha Yehuda ben Harash recha tzadik v'rech. Okay. In the next excerpt, that was a short siman. There's a very long siman. Siman Tzadik Aleph is just a long drasha. I just selected a few lines from it. Also from the Zichron Yehuda, and there are two issues here. One, again, the slave girls. So let's take a look. Zevon Gadol, the second line, third line. Gam inyan hashvachot. Also the issue of the slave girls. Asher heim takalal Yisrael. Asher heim lo shod rikma. They wear some kind of a netting, of some kind of a kind of clothing that you can see through. V'yizanu achreihem shetigzru shelo yul v'yizanu achreihem, and that therefore Jewish men are tempted to have sex with them. Shetigzru shelo yul b'shu lehen rak beged shachor me'aprilitono kiyotzebo v'yuriot shiem yuriot avot v'lo dako. You should make sure that these slave girls dress in modest clothing and
not thin
and transparent clothing. V'shiachru chem gadol b'shofkot al kol mi sheyibol bat el nechar v'hadimtza sheyanesh onesh gadol ki kvar yadatem shekanaim pogim bo v'danom asur b'yadchem lasur mechshol gadol kazeh. Kebeonotenu ha'arabim kama banim yaldu shvachot m'Yisrael. Because we have many cases in which Jewish men have children with slaves, slave girls who are not Jewish. Okay, and then the last three lines, and also I'm not so sure what this is referring to. Last two lines. Gam lemnoa b'shabbatot v'yom tov yoshvei kramot lispakel b'nashin. Men sit around on the corner, standing on the corner watching all the girls go by, or the women go by. Asher ovrot aleihem ulatasek b'divrei leitzanut. They are flirting with all of these women that go by. Ulkaim tokach hamah hachatumah b'zera tovei ha'ir. So these are two, I mean, this is a very, very long article with all kinds of gzeirot that the community should make for this, that, and the other thing. But here are two that are relating to sexual misbehavior. Okay. Next, now let's go down one more generation to the Shuvah Ritva. I'll just read the question here because I want to get to some other fascinating Shuvot. Od she'alta, ma la'asot b'nashim she'ba'aleihem esachakim b'kubya u'ma'abdim u'mana. What happens when the husband is addicted to gambling and losing all the money? They're making a claim to that they want to be divorced because they can't stand the husband. אם אתן לך בזה רשות לקוף אותם לגרש כדברי המורה הגדול הרמב״ם שהתיר לקוף לגרש בתענית מוס עליי שאין בנות ישראל כשבויות להיבעל לסנוי עליה. Remember that the Rambam, or remember that the takana of the Gaonim was that a woman could demand divorce without any serious kinds of financial penalty. The Rambam modified that slightly by saying that a woman can demand divorce without serious financial penalty if she claims that her husband is repellent to her physically, because a Jewish woman is not a slave girl to be forced into a relationship. And there, but the people who followed the Rambam, Rabbeinu Tam in Ashkenaz and the Rashba and the Ramban in Spain, all completely eliminated this right of the woman to institute a divorce and reverted to the law of the Gemara, which says that there's no way in which you can force a husband to give a divorce against his will, and the Ritva here certifies that opinion. I'm getting close to running out of time, so we won't read it inside. The next Shuvah of the Ran is interesting, but it's I'll read the second Shuvah of the Ran, it's shorter. Old Ketavka. Right, so it's the Ran Simon Samachet. ועוד היה מעשה בכאן שנערה אחת הייתה משרתת בבית בית נכבד אחד. That there was a girl, here's the one,
Samachet.
Did I have it out? This is Zichron Yehuda, let's go, that's here, this is the one. ועוד היה מעשה בכאן שנערה אחת הייתה משרתת בבית נכבד אחד. A young Jewish girl was a servant in the house of a wealthy person. ובא שמעון בנו ושכב איתה. The son of the family slept with her, ונתעברה ממנו, and she became pregnant. ואחר כך שם לה בית וכלים, and then he set her up into a house with furniture. והיה יוצא ונכנס בביתה כאדם ונכנס בבית פילגשה. And he treated her the way a normal person would treat his mistress, his concubine. וילדה ממנו בן, and she gave birth to a child, ותניקהו קרוב לבית חדשים, and she nursed this child for 2 months. וכל זה הזמן היה שמעון יוצא ונכנס בביתה כאדם ונכנס בבית פילגשה. ואחר זה הזמן התפייסה להינשא לאחר, and after this, she got an offer of marriage from someone else, ויש מחלוקת בדבר בין ראובן ויהודה אם צריכה להמתין 3 חודשים אילה. Normally, after a divorce, the woman has to wait 3 months before she remarries because you're uncertain about the paternity. And does that apply to this case where the woman is a concubine? Tshuva. צדקו דברי יהודה שצריכה להמתין 3 חודשים, וכיוון שהייתה מוחזקת בפילגשו, לא מקרא מזנה, שהרי הפילגש המיוחדת לאיש אחד אינה נקראת מזנה, שהרי מותרת היא. This woman is not considered a fornicator because he's allowed to have relations with his mistress. Since she is in a permissible relationship with him, Gadelet et Beno, Beno Hegba min Hag Pilegesh, and she is, behaves as a concubine, Lo Mikom Zana, Ki Hechid Neima Mitapechet, Kudiva Yehuda. So therefore, we don't say that she takes contraceptive measures as a normal woman who would just be having loose sex would do, and therefore the presumption is that there's a good chance that she would become pregnant by him, and therefore you have to wait 3 months to determine if indeed she's pregnant before she marries someone else. So here you can see that the Ran, just like the Ramban, but in contrast to almost all other authorities, takes for granted that a mistress or a concubine is perfectly permissible, and the only issue here is whether or not she has to wait 3 months before marrying someone else. All right, I'm going to skip a whole lot of these things because they're very interesting. Maybe we'll take some of them up next time, maybe not. They're interesting for a whole slew of reasons, not necessarily having to do with sexual behavior. The Rivash, who is the student of the Ramban, and rejects the idea of the Ran and the Ramban in Shuvah Siman Tav Chaf Hei, which we're not going to read. He writes in response, someone apparently asked him whether the laws of Nida apply to unmarried people. Does the prohibition of Nida only apply to your wife, or does it apply to a single relation between a man and a single woman as well? And because after all, if it does apply, then how is it that men have free sex or have sex with their mistresses if they don't go to the mikvah and so on? And he gets very angry and says, there's no such thing as being allowed to have a mistress. Whoever told you any such thing, and so on and so forth. So even though he comes in a direct line from the Ramban to the Rashba to the Ran to the Rivash, by then he is completely rejected this Latitudarian
pendulum
swung back. Now here in this handwritten Shiva, this is sort of an amazing document, so it's never been published anywhere. It has nothing to do with Spain. This is a Shiva of the Marami Rutenberg. I had heard of this Shiva, but I couldn't believe it, so I asked Professor Chaim, Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, to go check the manuscript and copy out from the Mordechai, which exists in manuscript form in the Jewish Theological Seminary, this particular Shiva. As I say, I don't think it's been printed anywhere. So let me just read it. They're painting my office. I had this posted up on the wall in my office because it's such an amazing document, but now that they're, I took it down for me. Okay? So this is from the Marami Rutenberg. So we're dealing with Germany, at the contemporary with Rashba. Ve'al ha'almana asher ba'ala lo haya tahor. On the issue of a widow who married a non-Jew. I can't read this next writing here. Emet, it's true, isha acheret hikarti, I knew of another case of a woman, shehayu omrim aleha, shehutar la liyibayel agoy, that she was allowed to have sex with a non-Jew. Veshamati b'tzarfat, and that they allowed this to a certain minority of Jewish women to marry non-Jews. What is the basis of this ruling? Maybe it should be Ein Ra'aya Klal Mayehuda Esther Kalka Olam Haika, from the story of Esther. The Esther Anusa Haika. Esther was forced into that relationship, and therefore if she could make the claim that she was inactive in the sexual acts, and So therefore she was allowed to be passive in the sexual act and not give up her life here.
Okay.
So that was a case of force. In the case of Yael, the whole point was to weaken the Sisro and thereby save the entire Jewish people, and therefore under that type of a circumstances, that action might have been permissible. Again, Aval lehimatse atzmali ba'el lagoy lahanak da'atah lebiya lo nehira klal. But to simply marry a Jew that she should, a non-Jew that she could have sexual satisfaction, doesn't appear to me to be reasonable at all. So this is an amazing fact that apparently there were some rabbis in France who were allowing Jewish women to get sexual fulfillment by marrying non-Jewish husbands when apparently there were not enough Jewish men around. Okay, so that's one.
Why did Rebbe say allow? It was happening, and then
he says that this woman that
he's not supposed to do it.
He says you're not supposed to do it, but he says that he had heard that Shabbat Sarfat Shehetiru
Lemitzat
Anash.
They permitted it.
Okay? And one last sugar that was also pasted to my wall that I had to take down from the painter. And this is really out of our time scale, but this is a 19th century Jewish Poland. This is the tshuva of the Shlomo Kluger. We'll just read the Shaila, because he gets furious at it. But the Mosgim, the Jews were involved in running in the liquor business. So in particular, the rich Jews were running the breweries, but the poorer Jews were actually running the saloons. The Mosgim shelakhu nashim nachriyot leveitam kedei lahamshich et anshei hachayi lasham sheyiznu imahem. Could these Jewish tavern keepers hire prostitutes in order to
get the customers
in?
Where's that?
Huh? Where? Very last page. Simon Kurt Sadik Bey.
It's from the combat.
All right. So again, of course, he gets furious at the idea that they should be doing this, but apparently this was a practice. The Jewish saloon keepers were actually also running boarding houses as a part of their side. Okay. So the general survey of what was happening in Spain, and especially the actual sources that are drawn from the cases in front of the royal courts, the acts of Jaime and others, you can read in this article by Yonker Hassis at the beginning. There's no sense in my reading it here. I don't know what I'll do next week. I may want to go over some of those tshuvot of the Rav Ash because they're interesting, but maybe we'll move on to the next topic. But for the general survey, as I said, of the situation as a whole, covering an entire period, and you have this book by Bialy, which I recommend, available in paperback. You have it at home?
I have it, but I haven't read it yet.
Well, it's a good book.
I have it.
All right. Okay, we'll stop here, and we'll continue next week.
Yeah.